In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. As you heard the scripture today, we are talking about something very important from the book of Luke in chapter 6, where God said, love your enemies. But again, amazingly, St. James in chapter 4, verse 4, said something different. He said, do you not know that the friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world make himself an enemy of God. So the question here, is there any conflict between the two? And what would be the case here? And what does it mean to love your enemies? And keeping in mind that they are, and most likely, from the world. Today I want to talk to you about a very important subject and very serious one. To continue our series of friendship, where I want to talk about friendship with the world. In the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, St. Paul said, do not be conformed to this world. And everybody, the apostles and the Lord himself, speak about the world, as you will hear in a minute. So what does it mean? And what did St. Paul mean by saying, do not be conformed to this world? In reality, you have to think about the meaning, the spiritual meaning of it. He is saying, do not be conformed to either the wisdom or the spirit or the fashion of the age of either the unconverted Jews or the heathen among whom you live. You are called to show through your life and your conversation, the way you eat, the way you dress, the way you talk, as I mentioned many times before, that you are God's son and daughter who are created in his image and likeness. And in that we mean the holiness, the love, the meekness, the humbleness, and all the good characteristics of the Lord himself that he is sharing with us and he is giving us as a gift that we should all enjoy. And when he mentioned the world, he doesn't mean this outside world that was mentioned in the scripture, meaning heaven and earth. But he is talking about the inhabitants of the world, those who live right here, and how they react with respect to God, how they love God, how they respect God, how they live with God. You heard the scripture, God today said, love your enemies. But the Lord himself said in the book of John in chapter 15, an amazing verse. He said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love it its own. Yet, because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all the things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. You see here, God is putting the world on one side, and those who are not of the world, meaning you, the Christian, the chosen one, the Lord chose you to be on one different side, his side. They're two completely different sides. The side of the world, which is against God, and the side of God where you are in, the chosen one, you are God's children, whom he chose you and he sent you to be the blessing to the whole universe. In the same meaning, St. John said in the first epistle in chapter 3, verses 13 to 15, he said, do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life, because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So what St. John is saying is, those who did not pass from death to life, those who did not enjoy life with God, they think they are alive, and they are not. They are dead. To be alive, meaning you live with God. for you, if you read the book of Revelation, when God talks about the first death and the second death, you wonder, what do you mean by first and second? The first death is where you live right now, but you are far away from God. You are dead in terms of God's terminology. You are alive when you are with God. You are dead when you are far away from God. And even St. John expressed that when he said it in the first epistle in chapter 5. We know that we are of God. And the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. If you are with God and you know that you are, and you know that you are God's son and daughter, you are alive. You really are alive. You live the true life. You are not dead. Those who are not of God, those are the ones who are dead, and they are the ones who lie under the sway of the wicked one. Then St. Paul, in the first epistle of Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 33, he said, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." So the idea of the word deceived here is that of seduction. The Bible says, do not be seduced by others. Do not allow others to lead you astray. You know what? I really don't care how strong we are or how strong we think we are. All of us have the potential to fall and run away and run astray. Even you heard the scripture when it says that the sin has cast many injured, and all of those who died were very strong, or they think they are strong. They are the ones who became like victims of the sin. So the scripture is warning us not to be seduced, because evil company, which is bad and harmful companionship, will corrupt the good manners that God has put in your heart and in your mind and your morals. Evil company had the way to lead us far away from God, especially young people who are not watching and who are trying to look at the outside world. And sadly, I see everyone now is led by media. Media dictate on you what you eat and what you dress. Sadly, you don't have the identity. You come back and complain the Coptic Church does not give us the identity. You are denying the Coptic identity. You are making yourself to be of this world. It's amazing, one time I was entering a house for a visit and TV was on and there was a commercial. And the commercial says about food. And this food will make you sexy. Food, even food, they talk about dress, about any clothing, about your car, anything to make you sexy. They completely try to put in your mind that your body is not the temple of God. Just to be sexy, that's how it looks and how it should be. Even food, and we believe it, we trust it, and we want to bring the outside world into the church, and when I want to give a warning, please watch out for this, not to act like anybody outside. We should cover our head, or we should not wear short or short skirts or sleeveless. You feel like Abuna is from the very old age and old fashioned. It's not. It is the teaching of the Bible if you read it carefully and you know it. And you know it is true. Abuna is telling you and teaching you the Bible and the teaching of the church. Because of my love to everyone here and my concern and my worries that you will be with the world, that scares me to death. You are my children, and I worry about you so much. I want to be, inshallah, God willing, all together to be in heaven with Him. And I don't want any teaching from the outside world to be overpowering you, to be dominant over your mind and your head in what you eat and what you drink and what you dress. If you are strong, you take the teaching from the church to the outside world, not the other way around. Being young or old, it does not and should not make any difference. You are God's child, you are strong by God. And we started in the Arabic Bible study on Fridays, is speaking about how to be very strong in so many different ways. And I wish you could listen to the sermon, which is downstairs or now posted on the internet. In the book of Proverbs, in chapter 13 and verse 20, it says, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." In Proverbs chapter 28:7, it says, "Whoever keeps the law is a discerning son, but a companion of gluttons shames his father." And you see that. We see it in the life of Lot, who called the evil company his brethren, and for whom the unequal yoke led to the damnation of his in-laws and the destruction of his family. You saw it in the life of Samson, when he gave himself to the ungodly women and sought the companionship of the Philistines, until at last he was blind and bound and the subject of their mockery. You also saw it in the life of the prodigal son, who had no sooner arrived in the far-off country and made friends with the world than he wasted all his substance and his possessions. You might be tempted to come and say, "Abuna, well, if I did not have any worldly friends, I would have no friends at all." Let me tell you this, and be serious about this one, and take it into heart. Learn to live and walk with God, then no matter where you cast your lot, you will never lose in your company. A lonely heart that leans on God is happy anyway, and is happy anyway. And if you don't feel happiness when you are with God, you are not living your life with God. You're having the outside shape of living with God, but you are not. You come to church because everybody comes to church. You pray because everybody prays. You stand up because everybody stands up. You sit down because everybody sits down. But is it from your heart? No, it is not. If you really love God so much, you will go into deep relationship. And you know that when you come to church, you are meeting with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Even Ruth said something very, very strong about how to make the friends with God. She said to Naomi in Ruth 1:16, "Your people shall be my people, and your God my God." Not anyone from outside. No one that will take me away from you. And David said the same in Psalm 119. He said, "I am a companion of all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts." Those who fear you, I become a companion. I become a friend to those who know God and fear God. So let me give you a story from the Bible. And please give me your attention. You may not have followed this story in the right meaning, to show you how bad company can corrupt good moral. It is very serious, and I want you to take it into heart and hear it seriously and understand it the way it should be. It is from the book of Genesis, chapter 38, and we talk here about a character by name Hira, even in Arabic called Hira, the same pronunciation. And if I go back to chapter 37, you will hear about how Judah was instrumental in persuading his brothers to sell Joseph into slavery. So as a consequence of that, he was partly to the lie who told Jacob that your son died. It was a big lie. Of course, he did not. They sold Joseph, as you know. So there is no doubt it was very difficult for Joseph's brothers to live with Jacob's grief, knowing that it was unnecessary, and it was particularly difficult for Judah, given that, and I'm sure you all know, that the Messiah came from him. So Jude made a decision, a very wrong decision that many of our young people make. When you are upset with your family, you want to leave home. And when you leave home, you go and join bad company. That's exactly what Judah did. He cannot live with the guilt feeling that he sold his brother and he lied to his father. So he left home and he went to live in an area where he got to meet Hira. Hira, the name, means noble, a noble person. In another word, he said, "Forget the old family, forget my house and my brothers and sisters, and let me go live in a good life with someone who is very rich. But let me show you the meaning of rich people." Of course, I don't mean anyone who is rich is wrong. We have many of our saints who are rich, but the wrong thing when you use the money in the wrong way. So when he went to Hira, he started to think about getting married. And when he started to think about getting married, he did not marry to someone from the church, I mean from God's people. He married to a woman, the daughter of a person named Shua, or Shua in Arabic, which means rich or wealthy, meaning he got married into money. And if I bring this one to like our modern life, it's like this, as if Judah, the person from the church, right here in the village, he went out to such a big classy area and he found a family that all drive Bentley cars and some expensive luxurious cars and living in such a wonderful house. He wants to impress everybody around him. That's all what he has in mind, not thinking about his eternal life and his family. Sadly, many of us, especially young people, think this way. How to be cool with my friends. And I mentioned this word last time, and it amazes me how you make it cool when it is not. And what the whole idea behind using the word cool all the time. It doesn't have any sense or any meaning when you are living with wrong friends and you consider it to be cool. It is not. To be serious and take control of your life when you decide to make friends. So when he went to marry the daughter of Shua, he thought in his mind that he would be cool marrying to a very wealthy family and they can get him out of his misery to forget his guilt of selling his brother Joseph. It did not work. Because back in the days, in this Canaanite family, the woman was kind of being the head of the house. One simple proof. He had three sons. He called the first one to be Er, and meaning warning, the name. And after that, his wife called the other two sons. She is the one making decisions at home, forgetting that the Bible says the man is the head of the wife. That didn't mean anything. That did not mean anything. I spoke about the meaning of head of the wife many times, so I hope you know what I mean in the right way. It is not never being the wrong way or the abusive or aggressive way. So after that, he decided to have his first son, Er, to get married. So what happened when Er, which means warning, got married, he did not want to have children, and he was such a very sinful man, and God killed him. You know from the law that if a person dies, if a man dies, his brother must marry his wife and bring children, because the first son will be called after the deceased one to carry the name of the family forever. The second son also was a bad person and he died. God was teaching Judah such big lessons and he never opened his heart and mind to understand what the idea is. When you are away from God and from the church and you think that when you join a good, rich family that's ungodly, this is cool, it is not. You are having friendship with the world. Two sons died. His daughter died, and when his wife died, and when his wife died, instead of weeping and crying for losing his wife, because of his friend, he went outside to have good time. He forgot the death of his wife, and again in his mind, the money, the joy of being outside away from God. How can you do Judah by having sex with somebody else? Sadly, that somebody else was Tamar, the daughter-in-law, the wife of Er and his second son. And she hid herself. And she made herself like a prostitute. She was waiting, covering her head, and she said, "You cannot have sex unless you pay me money." She knew that, of course, that he is her father-in-law. Back in the days, everybody wanted to have a son because everyone was waiting to have the Messiah. That's how it is until now. People in Middle East, they still have in their mind, you must have a son. If you don't have a son, it's something big. The whole idea was inherited from the old days where everyone was waiting to bring forth the Messiah. So it was a shame for a woman if she does not have a son. That's the whole idea behind it. And she was waiting until that time. And when Judah did not give her the third son to marry her, because he considered her, like in our nowadays terminology, a black widow, he decided not to give her the third son. He said, she can kill him too. Two sons died, the third will die. No, I will not. So she tricked him and impersonated that prostitute image, and she got the sign from him, his staff and his ring and all the stuff that you know of. But again, the idea is for Judah to be with Hira. Hira encouraged him to marry the wrong person, to live the wrong life, and to continue much more worse life even after the death of his wife and his two sons. And he went to commit a sin, adultery with his daughter-in-law. You see how far we can go with become friends of this world. Do not be. Learn from the lessons of the Bible, and everywhere you go around you, make sure that you do not have Hira as a friend. Ask yourself, like what we mentioned in the last couple of discussions, 2 weeks ago we talked about the fundamentals of friendship and the value of friendship, where you can have a true good Christian friends, and most of all you must have your friendship with the Lord Himself. So if you don't have this kind of friendship, you are living a very wrong life. You are not knowing the true meaning of friendship. Ask yourself before you have a friend, who is that friend? Is he from God's children, or is he or she from the world? Would he bring you to church or take you away from church? Would he teach you and insist that you follow God's commandment? And if you do something wrong, he will tell you, this is wrong. If a good friend loves you so much, if he sees that you do something wrong, he or she should tell you this is wrong. For them to accept your wrongdoing, they are wrong and they are helping you out to continue a wrong life, meaning they take you far away from God. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 17, verse 15, a very serious verse that says, the one who make the guilty innocent or the innocent guilty, both are hated by God. Does God hate? Yes. When you try to make someone innocent and try to lie and make him guilty, or you see someone who is guilty, even your best friends, and if you are not godly enough to tell them this is wrong, you stop, get back, God will hate the two of you. Be careful about this. On the other hand, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 27, verse 17, a very wonderful and nice verse that says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Iron sharpens iron. You also can sharpen your friend. You make him to be glittier, to be very shiny, and goes back again to the true image and likeness of God. My point and my message for today, that you don't have Hira as one of your friends. Every time you have a friend, ask yourself, is he or she Hira or not? If he is the one that can make you, it's okay. Well, it's okay not to go to church, not to pray. It's okay to have a party. It's okay to drink. It's okay. That when you hear that many okay, that should be warning. You should stand strong. God's children are very, very, very strong. They are not weak. And anybody tells you otherwise, he is not telling you the truth. When God speaks about being meek and humble in Matthew 11:29, he does not mean that everybody can slap you in your face. You tell me, how come Abuna, God said, if somebody slap you in right cheek, give him the other. Also, tell him the same happened with the Lord himself. When they slapped him in his face, he said, if I did something wrong, judge the wrong that I did. If I did not, why would you slap me? The Lord said it. So a good, perfect person, true Christian person, a strong Christian person is the one that has all the virtues working together in wisdom. I could be meek, I could be humble, I could also be strong. There is no conflict right here. Absolutely not. All of them complement each other. when there is a time to be meek, I will be meek. When there is a time to be strong, to make a decision, say yes or no, I will be strong. That's God's children. And if anyone teach you other than that, they do not know God the way it should be. They should go back to their ABC in spirituality and get to know the true meaning of relationship with God. He should be your first and best friend ever. And the church should be the guard to the ideas that you have in mind, not from anybody outside. With all due respect, everyone who is outside, they do not teach you the way true relationship it should be. And that's why next week, inshallah, I will conclude and finish the whole series of friendship, where I would like to give you many examples of good and true friendship, those who can lead you to God, and glory be to God now and forever. Amen.